The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Hey guys, what's up? Once again, it's Pro Wrestling Unscripted. I can't right now. So, in full disclosure, Billy just recorded the intro to tomorrow's Podzilla After Dark.
And you're going to want to listen to that one, turds.
Yeah, I can't even concentrate right now. But it's Pro Wrestling Unscripted, and we got a special guest here tonight. First off, your every Wednesday panel, myself, Mr. 100, Irish Daddy, Shannon Young, down at the end of the table, the five-star man, Ace of Gray.
It always just makes me think of that sign from NXT for Finn.
No.
That's very not PG, PWU safe.
I think that would be good for tomorrow's show, too, actually, maybe. Allie Abear to my right.
Hello.
Who's doing a hell of a job, I hear.
Thank you.
The Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Who's also passable.
I'll take it.
Of course you would.
Wrong show, Billy.
And then our special guest tonight, CCW star, Stride star, former tag team champion.
Former.
Billy Hills. Hello.
Just had to say former, didn't you?
That's his words.
It's cyclical use. Yeah. We all used it.
Did you say cyclical? Circular? What'd you say? Cyclical?
Probably.
You idiot.
Jeez. Do you even know what that means? And that's me asking you.
That's true. He has three words.
Jesus Christ.
Stupid moron. Okay. So we got Billy here. Billy, we got some questions for you too. We're going to get to at the end of the show. People want to know what you think.
I don't care. No.
But some of these people are from Illinois.
They cross that great divide. You have to be nice to them, don't you?
No. I get paid better over there. Hint, hint, Ken Murphy.
Ken checked out a long time ago.
He heard that intro from the future.
Yeah. You cursed so loud that Ken Murphy felt it in his bones. It was like
he felt a great disturbance in the force. Yeah.
His obscenity sense was tingling.
Yes, it was.
Sorry,
obscenity
Ken.
Sense. All right, let's start this off. First off, Ace, you put this at the top of the list, and you're absolutely right. So Billy, a friend of yours from Stride Pro Wrestling and now CCW, JD Wilk, had the unfortunate shoulder injury. He came back. He wrestled at the Lawless Harley Davidson show for the Ashley McClure Memorial. But it turns out either hurt himself again or he just didn't know the extent of his injury. Do we know for sure?
He did re-injure it. I would say he probably did come back maybe a month or so early, maybe a couple months earlier than what he should. What happened was we were at 01 USA in Mattoon this past Saturday. He was on the outside with Jake Parnell and I forget the other couple gentlemen that was in the match. Sorry, guys. But he was on the right side of Jake Parnell, which put the bad shoulder on Jake's right. Well, they were a little bit more hunched over than what they technically probably could have been, should have been, whatever, doesn't matter. But JD left his arm around Jake. Whenever the gentleman did the top rope flip, it landed on their back. Instead of kind of catching on, say, a shoulder or just taking the full brunt to the chest,
right?
They landed on Jake's back. JD's arm was still on Jake's back, right down on the shoulder, which re-dislocated it, unfortunately. And I didn't know that at the time. I was watching from the curtain and you know, everybody here and probably everybody listening knows that whenever a referee throws up an X and we don't know that it's going to be a part of a story or whatever it is, whenever a referee throws that up, somebody's hurt. So I just start counting people. There's Jake. There's another. And my immediate reaction was, oh, crap, it's JD.
Right.
And sure enough, it was. And I asked one of my trainers that kind of helped move me along whenever I first came up here. He was in the locker room. I'm like, can you please go out there and check on him? And then Joey O'Reilly also, he came up. He's like, hey, do you need me to go out there too? I'm like, please, you know, I can't. I'm a bad guy there. Right. So I can't go out there and be seen. So, yes, if you two can go out there and check on him. As soon as they got him up and he turned the post, it was plain as day. His bone was, halfway up his neck.
He posted that X-ray. I know that's after they like reset it and everything.
Yeah.
And that sucks because JD, he's a good friend of the show. Mm-hmm. Just one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet and hungry. Yeah. You said it on when we recorded commentary for CCW about wrestlers being hungry, mm-hmm. Hollis being hungry. JD is hungry.
Yeah.
That boy is hungry. You can mm-hmm. see it in his eyes. He wants to succeed in wrestling. And, we all just mm-hmm. hope that JD has a speedy recovery. And Don, you want to say it, don't you?
No, not right now because of this moment, but okay. We'll get past it.
Okay. But yeah, JD, if you're listening to this, and I know you are, everybody here, just man, we hope you recover quickly because we love watching you wrestle. You're a great guy. So
just to kind of help out and everything, I did get this text from him earlier. He was not actually getting released to go back to any kind of activity. From what the RN up there at the hospital said, that he's not getting released to go back to anything up until he sees a surgeon. And this is what he said that they told him today. If I follow my stretches and exercises strictly, the doctor said I can come back in September.
Oh, great.
Because he originally said he was taken off the rest of the year.
Right. Yeah. And he still very well could.
Right.
But if he does everything by the book, it could potentially be September if he wanted to.
And you know, obviously I'm not a doctor and I don't wrestle, but it's one of those things that maybe – should he take the rest of the year off? Just give it some extra time to heal? I mean, not everyone's John Cena. Not everyone's – because remember, he was supposed to be out for longer. And then we saw him come back so quickly.
Because they said it was like 9 weeks. And then week four, that was when he wrestled at the mm-hmm. last Stride show.
Right? Yeah. And we were like, man, we didn't think he'd come back so quickly. And, you know, maybe – I don't know. Maybe take a couple of extra months off. Really let it heal. Rehab it. Mm-hmm. But either way, JD, you got our love. And we all wish you the best.
Yep.
And we can't wait to see you wrestle again. So that is that. Let's – God. You really put all the depressing stuff at the beginning. So the WWE.
I went in mostly order of what happened.
No, I mean, that's good. But this is just a sad story. The WWE canceled their Manchester show in England, obviously, after the bombing that happened last mm-hmm. week. We talked a little bit about it on last week's Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Just a quick 15-minute thing. Very tragic. And we're all. It feels like we're downplaying the importance of it by saying how bummed out we are. But I don't know what else to say. Like, we were all visibly shaken by what happened. We were all very affected by it, even though it had nothing to do with us. We were very affected about it. And WWE, to their credit, they canceled their Manchester show. Hey, so what else did they do for these people?
They also made a donation to the relief fund. And also the stars who were supposed to be going to the Manchester show, a lot of them got sent to the area hospitals to do, like, visits and meet and greets with people who were victims of the bombing. And then they're also doing so since it was supposed to be at that same arena.
Yeah.
And so they are issuing full refunds, but also tickets to the Leeds show. They gave so you could either get a refund or you could get a free ticket to that next event.
And it's nice of them to do that. Just all of that. And I've said it before and we've said it on this show multiple times that we give WWE a lot of
flack
for the way that they book their shows and stuff like that. But one thing you can't take away from them, whether it's just for publicity or not, but how they treat people and how they help out and reach out to the community through rehab for the wrestlers or the Make-A-Wish Foundation and stuff like that, they do a lot of good. Yeah. And I feel like they absolutely deserve credit when they do good.
Because a lot of other organizations would, you know, they would clearly, if they canceled a show, they're going to issue refunds. They may offer tickets to a nearby show, but like, the donation and just sending people to visit.
Yeah.
Like with the injured people is.
It's above and beyond what they needed to do.
Right.
And that's really cool. So again, kudos to the WWE for doing that. Cause that's really, really good of them. Tajiri, Yoshihiro Tajiri, no longer under WWE contract. Blink and you'd miss him.
Yeah. Cause he got hurt.
Yeah. That's why.
He got cleared to compete again, but it looks like because I feel like he was supposed to feud with Kendrick because they were leading up to that.
Right.
And that was probably going to translate into the Tozawa feud. But then when Tajiri went down, they ended up just moving the Tozawa feud forward.
Which is a good feud. I like Kendrick. I like Tozawa.
Their matches have been really good.
Yeah.
That senton from the top rope to the outside through the table was gross.
Now, Dalton, do you remember we used to have a guy on the show? He would come on occasionally, and we'd talk about him. Not on this show, but just on Podzilla. His name, we called him Nasty Nate, Nate Smith.
Uh-huh.
And you showed him a clip of Tozawa once that...
So if you put in Tozawa and gay, on YouTube and just search for a couple matches. You will see the match I'm talking about, but it is a match of Akira Tozawa, contracted WWE wrestler, partaking in a, I'm not going to say traditional, but a traditionally weird Japanese match where thongs were involved.
Billy's interested.
I'm intrigued.
I'm sure you've probably seen it.
I'll send you the link. I'll get on YouTube.
I'm sure I have.
The first time us seeing this was at the Colt Cabana's Unprofessional Wrestling that we went up to in St. Louis with Brandon and Jason because Matt Seidel was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one he chose to – he was given like a list of options. Like, which one do you want to see? And he's like, I want to see my buddy Tozawa.
Well, no, because it was like, do you want to see this or do you want to see your buddy Tozawa being incredibly gay?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I haven't seen that.
He ended
that.
Up taking a, like, so he was right in front of the screen. He ended up taking a picture with the thumbs up. He's like, I'm going to send that to him.
What's the weirdest match you've been involved in? Have you had any strange ones?
Dog food.
A dog food match?
Mm-hmm.
Please,
like,
please
loser has to eat dog food?
Yep. Loser has to eat dog food.
What was that at?
That would be Rector, Arkansas.
Doesn't surprise me.
No. It was a doozy. Let's see. I'd say that's probably been the weirder one for sure.
Who won that one?
I was the face. I was the good guy. So I went over in that one. Now, here, just kind of like a fun little dab in that one. The normal way to like do one of these dog food matches or whatever is you take a can of dog food.
Oh, so it wasn't even dry dog food. It was wet dog food.
Yeah, it was wet. Oh. It was wet dog food. But here's like the trick to like do this thing is you take a can of like Chucky soup or whatever and you take a can of dog food and you swap the labels.
Oh, okay.
I'm an asshole.
I don't like where this story's going, guys.
I didn't swap them. So
did he know?
He found out quickly. He found out pretty quickly on the spot.
That's why you switch the labels yourself.
Yeah. Always keep your eyes on the can of dog food you're about
to eat. Don't let Billy do it.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. This was maybe the 10th match I ever had in my career. It was like supposed to be like this big blow off between me and somebody. So, with that being said, the gentleman that I've been working with just trusted that I had done it. Nope. Nope. I didn't.
So if you take anything away from tonight's PW, guys, it's Billy Hills once fed dog food to another wrestler.
Mm-hmm. And I will feed you dog food too. Don't think I won't. Anybody listening to this, I'll feed you dog food too. You tempt me. I will burn down Starbucks for free. Think about what I'll do to you.
Sorry. You want to give it, Dalton?
What?
Give us a sorry, Ken.
Oh, sorry, Ken.
There you go. Speaking of sorry, the Raw rating.
Yeah. That's a good, I like that segue, though.
So, Asa, tell it like you told me, because it says, I'm reading it, but the way you said it.
Yeah, because I just did the condensed version, so I would remember. So not 2 days ago, Raw, the Raw before that was a 20-year record low against no – there was no holiday, because Memorial Day usually falls around this time of year, and there was no sporting event. There was a – there was an NBA game, like a postseason game, but it was not a very high-profile one. And it was like a 20% dip in ratings from the week before that. So there's just really no reason other than people don't like
Didn't watch.
The product. And then this past week's Monday was even lower. Not by a whole lot. Like if the 2 weeks ago Raw was like 2.16, yeah. This one was like a 2.13 million.
But it's still slipping.
And it's and granted this Monday was Memorial Day and it was the first night of the Stanley Cup Finals. But they had a little bit more of a competition, like prioritizing, people would prioritize over Raw.
Right.
But that 2 week ago show, there was no reason for that number to be.
So that's 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Usually whenever something like that happens, because that's happened before, ratings slip occasionally, mm-hmm. And who do you always see on TV almost immediately after the ratings slip?
Vince or Brock.
Vince or Brock, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I would not be surprised if next week Vince McMahon was on Raw with some crazy shenanigans that he's wanting to pull over. And that's really sad because if you watched Raw this week especially, I heard it was a good show, except for one thing.
Like 80% of it was good, solid.
And you got this lower on the list, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about that segment on Raw that everyone's dying to hear about. This is Your Life,
mm-hmm.
Bailey.
Before we dive into that, though, did the ratings drop before or after that segment?
It was like the first hour was like
so this, the ratings were down anyway.
I think it was
like.
Just, the only thing I read was it like the, it was just the average of the 3 hours. But yeah, so I can only I don't want to know.
Well, I don't think people tuned out during the This Is Your Life segment. They probably watched it and just bitched about it. Well, Allie did, and she turned it off 5 minutes into it.
Yeah, because I paused it and I noticed that it wasn't even halfway over. It was like, this segment is far too long.
That was the problem with it. It was a 13-minute segment that poor Alexa Bliss. I love Alexa Bliss, by the way. She's one of our favorites here on the show. And didn't she win Women of Wrestler of the Year from the PW Awards?
No, I thought it was Most Improved.
She won Most Improved.
That's what it was. Dalton, get back here. Now he's going to go check anyway. Yeah, she won Most Improved because she does a great job. And they sent her out there to do this segment. And you know why they did this segment. Allie, let me tell you why they did this segment.
It was a tie between Charlotte and Sasha, wasn't it? Isn't that who won the Our Women of the Our Woman of the Year?
I think it was a tie.
I thought it was a tie.
I thought we did the tie. Because we couldn't. Yeah.
It might have been Blaster.
Yeah, so Alexa Bliss got Most Improved, and then the Woman of the Year was Charlotte and Sasha, because that was in the middle of their trading the tie. As much as we hated that, but you couldn't argue
ridiculous.
That. It was one of those, like, you can't have one without the other at that point.
So, Allie, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Why do you think they did this segment?
I don't know, because I don't watch a lot of Raw.
Do you know what the highest rated segment in WWE history is? Dalton, tell her.
This Is Your Life, Rockin' Mankind.
Yep.
If you ask Edge, it's a different one, but we're not going to talk about that one right now.
Live Sex Celebration?
I
thought that one, I always, like, every time we bring up that statistic, I always thought that one beat it. Or is
the,
that
the
just
live
like,
sex?
Was that just a fake claim he would make?
That was a fake claim he would make. Okay. It's up there, but it's definitely was This Is Your Life.
So This Is Your Life featuring The Rock and Mankind. This was back in, what, 90 something?
99.
2000, something like that?
99.
Mankind and Rock are a team. The Rock and Sock Connection and
Rock hates Mankind. Still.
Yeah, Rock hates Mankind.
And if you want to see good comedic just timing between two people, watch any of the Rock and Sock Connection because it's just the Rock being
the Rock,
which is just burying Mankind the entire time. And Mick Foley just like what little brother Asa and I. Imagine that him, Rock, me, Mankind.
Definitely you, Mankind,
and just trying to gain acceptance the entire time.
Yeah, and the
that sounds about like y'all's life.
See,
yeah.
It was a 30-minute segment. It went half an hour, and it was the highest-rated segment in WWE history still. So they're trying to catch lightning in a bottle. You know, they wanted to get it again. But as much as I like Alexa Bliss and Bayley, there is a big difference between Alexa Bliss and Bayley and The Rock and Mankind.
Also, sorry.
They let The Rock be himself.
Well, this is back when it was highly unscripted, yeah.
And this was
like
all,
this show.
The one that they did, this was Mankind being nice to The Rock.
Yeah.
He was bringing in all of these people who just really, you know, were happy for The Rock.
And then The Rock would tear him down.
And then The Rock ran down those people.
Right.
It was so great.
This was Alexa Bliss bringing in her grade school teacher, her grade school best friend, one of her ex-boyfriends.
Oh, and by the way, the grade school best friend may have been the most cringeworthy thing I have seen in years. This is Claire Lynch level of cringe.
The reason that she and Bayley stopped being friends was because that happened. With that being, she started watching Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. So not only,
you know, the show we're watching.
They made fun of their own show.
They made it seem like it was uncool.
For the second time with that same character.
Yeah.
Because remember, Charlotte's big thing was, oh, you were just a fan.
Yeah.
You dreamed of this. What a loser. You watch Raw. She says on Raw. What?
And then Bailey's ex best friend and her ex boyfriend then start making out
because he said the only reason he dated Bailey was to get closer to her.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It was
the worst.
Bafflingly bad.
Now I was gonna say another reason why like it went long or it felt like it went long is because This Is Your Life was 30 minutes long. The difference is This Is Your Life was supposed to be like an 8-minute segment, and they just kept going.
The Rock and Mankind.
Yeah, The Rock and Mankind. So whenever they try to catch lightning in a bottle, it's literally complete day and night because they are scripting this out all the way compared to The Rock and Mankind.
Well, not only that, but they also gave them the worst material.
Mm-hmm.
In the yearbook, most likely to smile or most likely
to apologize.
The ex-boyfriend, the teacher, like it was just boring. It was boringly written, and God bless Alexa Bliss, she did the best she could with it.
Yeah.
But that's very little.
Mm-hmm.
That's like
it's
saying
the same thing with like the new
Shannon
day.
Make Jason Vaughn look exciting. I can only do so much. I'm not a miracle worker.
That's Davey Vega.
Love him.
I had a point. It's gone. Oh, and the worst part for me, though, the part that I hated even more than that was when Bayley finally came out to like shut it down. Alexa Bliss just like manhandles her. Just beat throws the crap out of her. Yeah. Grabs it. Like she had a kendo stick hidden, which I liked that, but oh, you really needed Alexa Bliss to, you needed someone to have a reason to think that Bayley could win this championship back.
Right.
And this did nothing to make it seem like that's going to happen.
Sidebar to that, because I didn't watch the segment because that's not on WWE's YouTube, surprisingly.
There's like a minute version of
but
it.
But it's the end. It's only
a reason
the end.
Why.
But I absolutely do love how they are selling the kendo stick nowadays. Mm-hmm. Where like, no, that will kill you. Cause I mean, they take away like the violent shots, which thankfully they do. But they make that kendo stick look really, really good.
It's a shitty weapon.
And they make that weapon look really, really good comparatively to what they used to use.
That kendo stick looked really good compared to Alexa Bliss and Bayley in that segment.
Where
was Vince McMahon? If Vince McMahon, or even Booker T during that segment, you all saw this, right?
Yeah,
he said this is hard to watch.
Also, he's apparently going to be staying on the commentary team until the end of summer.
No, I mean if he's shouting
really
out,
want David Otunga back on there
over Booker, kinda.
I want a two man table.
Look, sucker,
that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Just Michael anything Cole over Corey Graves.
Any commentary team over two people is ridiculous.
Six man SmackDown.
That's what Jason wanted, but I put my foot down.
Also, do you remember when that aired? Because I do have the hour by hour breakdown.
When which one aired?
This is your life. Was that in the second hour?
If I remember correctly, I believe it was. I want to feel that it was in that 8 to 9 o'clock hour.
Because the first hour did two. Where'd it go?
Also, that's what Ozzy. The
first hour did 2.689 million. The second hour did 2.681 million. The third hour did 2.468 million. So they lost almost 200,000 viewers. More than 220,000 viewers
after that segment.
If that segment happened in the second hour,
yeah, because it was nowhere near like the go home segment. No, because they had
Roman versus Rollins,
and then I know that there was another segment right before that too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was bad.
And you know who they're going to blame it on?
Alexa and Bayley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mostly Alexa because she carried the segment.
I think it'll mostly be Bayley.
You think so? No, she was only in there for a minute 50.
Vince doesn't like Bayley.
Which is terrible. All right. So and I was going to bring this up before, but if Vince McMahon is on the headset, he's watching this because you know he is. He's backstage. He watches every segment. Yeah. He had to have known that this segment was going down faster than Sable. Never mind.
So did
on
his
track of mine. That's terrible.
So did the Rosie O'Donnell versus
Donald Trump
match.
Barack Obama.
Which thankfully he was at ringside to hear the crowd change the channel. And
yeah. But he had to be watching this backstage. He heard the delete chants. He heard boring chants. Why didn't he call an audible? I saw someone posted this. Why didn't Vince McMahon go out there? Why didn't they send Bayley out early? Why didn't they end this segment faster? Why did they leave poor Alexa Bliss to hang?
Because
that's what he did.
Because Vince was probably laughing his ass off.
It was a bit of a test. To see if she could hang, to see if she could handle it, see if she could turn it around.
But the thing of it is she's done, if that's the case, that's kind of bad on their end because she has been given gold before.
Yeah. Well, it's bad on their end too because.
In NXT.
What did they tell you?
I mean,
in
Alexa
WWE?
Bliss is in WWE has given gold still. Like, I mean, she is always.
On SmackDown.
Well, even on Raw. Even
two different
Raw.
Riding teams.
Even on Raw, she's still Alexa Bliss for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I was going to say, in WWE, you know now. 95% of what they do is scripted. It's all written out for them. This is how you do the segment by segment, right? Mm-hmm. So if their idea was, let's send Alexa Bliss out there to the segment that's going to bomb, we know it's going to bomb, we hear it bombing, and let's see her ad-lib and save the segment. If you're Alexa Bliss and you're just now, I mean, she's only been on the main roster for a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, one, she's probably still terrified and worried about losing her spot. Do you really want to take the chance and maybe screw up and ruin? Remember what happened to Abraham Washington?
Yeah.
When he ad-libbed, he was fired immediately.
There's a difference.
No, and it was terrible. But what if Alexa Bliss slipped? What if she said, I'm going to save the segment. I'm going to do something funny. And what she said, because we've all been there in that heat of the moment, you say something that comes back to haunt you.
No, yeah. But if that's what happened, then yes, she should be punished for that because Abraham Washington should absolutely have been punished for what he said.
It was a stupid thing he said, absolutely.
He didn't get fired because he went off script. He got fired because when he went off script, he said something crazy offensive.
Just horribly offensive. And I don't think Alexa Bliss would do that.
And I don't either. But at the same time, like, I can see her fear of going off script, period.
Right, and getting admonished for it.
Because, not only that, but then, like, do the writers take offense?
Right.
Like, hey, so I just spent 5 minutes, like, delivering garbage that you wrote, so I did my own thing.
And it was better.
So now they resent her for that, and they
so
don't.
So next week they write a segment where
that's
she...
That's even worse.
It's, yeah. It's the CM Punk thing of, like, no, you have to be nice to the writers, because if you don't, then they're just, they don't...
They're not going
to
write anything for you.
Yeah, they won't do anything good for you. Like, I mean, he talked about that in that Cabana podcast.
And that's true for everybody, because, I mean, you hear stories all the time about wrestlers getting buried by the writers,
mm-hmm.
or they don't have anything for them, stuff like
creative
that.
Creative has nothing for you.
Yeah. But well, let's go to YouTube.
Yeah, but we can look at New Day as the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
Of taking it in their own.
Yeah, taking it and then just pretty much just we're going to do what we want to do
mm-hmm.
in our way. Like, that's all well and good. Thanks for the bullet points, fellas, but.
But that's, watch. I think that, though, the New Day is a special case. Those guys, the way they work together.
Everybody on that roster can be a special case. You just got to have the balls to do it.
Yeah.
That's what they've been saying for years, and too. Grab the brass ring.
Also, it's whenever you talk about New Day, like, they had the strength in numbers. Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns all talked about, like, yeah, no, the reason the Shield were so protected is because whenever we went into the writing room, we all three went in there. You know how hard it is to say no to three guys compared to one? Pretty difficult. And, I mean, New Day, I'm willing to say kind of the same thing whenever it's just Alexa Bliss. And I'm not saying Alexa, but...
I mean, do you think it's a sexual discrimination thing? That because she's a female wrestler, that she doesn't have as much clout over what she can and cannot do versus male wrestlers?
I'm willing to say 8 years ago, yes. Nowadays, a little bit not as much, just because of, like, what Charlotte and Sasha have done, what Bayley has done, what Asuka has done, what even Alexa Bliss has done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 8 years ago, yeah, no, you could definitely say that. Nowadays, I don't want to say it as much, because they have given him a lot more reality-based, series-based storylines.
What about you, Ellie? What do you think?
I mean, I'm not there. It very much has to do with the atmosphere that they put in the writing studio, wherever they go.
Well, I'm sure it's terrible.
And so if it is terrible, I could see that affecting it without even them purposely wanting it to affect it,
mm-hmm.
because that happens.
Like,
everywhere.
Oh, it's the women's segment.
Well,
it in.
There's a reason that the Bayley hasn't kissed a boy joke is made, and not, you know.
And you can look at the history of wrestling. Remember,
and they kinda
Molly
did that.
Holly is a virgin. Mm-hmm. Let's make fun of her.
Well, and even like Daniel
Mickey James.
As soon as I say
fat,
that, Daniel
Mickey
Bryan,
James.
That whole Bella story.
Yeah.
Because they thought he said he was a virgin, not vegan.
And that's silly, to be a virgin in your
mm-hmm.
adult life.
Yeah.
You stupid ass.
I don't know Dalton over here.
He's just waving.
Another episode I can't tell my mom to listen to.
Yeah.
Or she'll be proud of me, one of the two.
I just think it was a bad segment. And
yeah.
I hope Alexa Bliss doesn't catch heat for this, because I don't think it wasn't her fault.
It was no one's fault. It was no one on screen's fault.
It was the perfect storm. And to give, all right, I'll say this about the writers.
I don't know, that teacher was a turd.
Well, yeah. Well, the acting in that in general was terrible, other than Alexa Bliss and Bayley.
Okay, no, that makeout session was hot.
We almost had a live sex celebration part two. I want to say this for the writers, though. Sometimes you can write something that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can write something that you write it and you're like, this is the best I've ever done. And then the moment you see it acted out.
Oh, God, what have I done?
Yeah.
Not even that. Look at Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
How many stories do they tell of, like, oh, yeah, we wrote this thing. It was my magnum opus. Like, this is the greatest thing I'm ever going to do. They do it. Everyone loves it. Everyone in the room loves it. All of the cast loves it. They take it to rehearsal and it dies.
Yeah.
A horrible, terrible death.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that's cut.
Right.
Never again.
And that's the problem with doing it live, like on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't even know if there's a rehearsal process for stuff like this.
There almost has to be.
A lot of the
there
time,
should be.
But a lot of the time, Saturday Night Live will do a rehearsal in front of an audience.
Right. They do it a week in advance. They do it through the week.
Yeah.
So,
like Friday.
So they have
doing...
actual, like, they have actual viewers there.
Right.
And when that crowd doesn't laugh, then they know stuff has to be reworked.
Yeah.
Raw, they don't do that. The closest you're going to get is, like, certain highlights of certain matches done at house shows. But
a segment like
but
this,
you can't
obviously
do that with a talking segment.
And then if you do a segment like this and the only people that are watching it to give you feedback are the writers, are the higher-ups, of course, they're probably going to go, yeah, that's great, Vince. It looks good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like I said, perfect storm. But it was an abomination.
Yes.
And that's all we'll say. God bless Alexa Bliss and Bayley.
Yep.
And two of the writers.
I'm looking forward to that match. It's the first time a something on a pole match has made sense.
Judy Bagwell?
In a long time.
Oh, okay.
In a long time.
Judy Bagwell on a pole match, and now the kendo stick on a pole match. Everything in between that's been garbage.
And I like every time Alexis and or Alexa Bliss and Bayley have wrestled. Like they work really well together.
Also, all right, so this is completely personal, but I need to say no one that's listening probably did this, but I have seen far too many times when I'm looking for wrestling feedback on the shows, especially on 4-1 Mania, just the worst. But the people that are talking about how ugly Bayley is and they can't in the ring. Bayley, take away how good she is as a wrestler, because I don't want to sound like that's all that matters is how attractive she is. Put aside the fact she is a great wrestler and a great talent. She is gorgeous. Bayley is amazingly attractive in every way, and I like you internet people, you're typing on your keyboards, and what supermodel are you effing? Like, are you taking Kate Upton out this weekend? Because you're probably not. So what the hell do you have to judge how attractive Bayley is?
And that's just the thing with any female wrestler. It's based almost entirely on their attractiveness, which is stupid.
Because they're all attractive. I can't think of a single woman on WWE's roster that isn't attractive. Like, and I'm not
Nia
saying I find
Jax is. Oh.
You are wrong.
Hey, no, she is beautiful. No,
okay. I thought you were. I thought you were, when you did this. I'm used to the shudder being Billy, no.
That was not the shudder. There are different preferences for different people, obviously. Mm-hmm. But like, even we criticize Eva Marie for being a bad wrestler. Debatable. She's not great, obviously.
Every time.
But there are people that would say, oh my God, she's so ugly. Like, what are you smoking? Eva Marie is also gorgeous.
Yeah, no, every time I said Eva Marie was the worst, I also followed it up with, she is alien hot, though. Like,
just like stupid hot.
Yeah.
Sable. Attractive. Like, I'm not going to say it. I was going to say, I can only think of one woman in wrestling history that I ever found not attractive, but she's dead, and I don't want to speak about her. It wasn't China. No. That's all I'll say. If you want to know who Shannon's Mr. Irish Daddy's talking about, message me.
But that's one of those things where it's always gotten under my skin. Anytime people just bring up their attractiveness, like even when it's not relevant to the conversation. Like, oh, that match was really great. Yeah, and she's so pretty too. Like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like you didn't have to add that.
It's like I'm not going to go on and on about how attractive Bobby Roode is. I mean, I could. I might start now, but.
You should, just to make a point, just to protest.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa Bliss was hot. Yeah, but you check out Bobby Roode's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Did you see what Finn Balor was wearing?
Glorious. Irish daddy.
The OG.
Yeah. Okay. Are you showing that around to everybody?
Yeah.
That's fine. Whatever. It's whatever. I mean, you see what I'm saying. Preference. Anyway, moving on. Show it to Allie, too. Why not? She won't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Of X-Pac. Some good news.
Yay!
X-Pac cleared. Now, I don't know the details, though. So,
I
cleared how?
So, the tests came back. They sent his pills to the lab. The lab determined that they were not methamphetamine. They were those anti-yeast pills. Also, apparently, because that was not the part that I had the problem believing. Like, I didn't, it's not that I didn't believe X-Pac. The part that I was confused about were the 3 chocolate weed bars and liquid weed cigarettes that he got found with at an airport on an international flight. But the marijuana items in Waltman's possession did not exceed state legal limits either, and federal prosecutors decided not to pursue the case. So the way that I'm interpreting that is coming because California has legal marijuana. The amount he was carrying was legal within the state, and that even though he was trying to leave the country with it, the federal prosecutors decided to just let it go.
And that could have been the whole, like, everybody was accusing him of the meth.
Yeah.
Like, so they were just like, you know what? You weren't breaking any California laws. Yeah, what you did was kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that we were really trying to slam you for ended up not being the thing. So you know what?
You just
no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
We're all just going to walk away from this. Don't be dumb anymore. Because, like, bringing weed on an airport is really dumb.
Yeah.
Like, the pills obviously aren't an issue. But
the pills would be baffling if they were methamphetamine. That's baffling.
And like I said, the only thing that
Is it really, though? Knowing his history?
No, just to take it to an airport.
Well, and I mean, also,
really?
He's been talking.
Like, I don't know. That's a little too far.
Well, like, in X-Pac, if you've listened to any of his recent, like, podcast or interviews he's done, he's talked about being clean, minus marijuana. He's talked about being clean for a long time.
Yeah,
starting to be clean again. So it's one of those where, like, you know, yeah, it's completely dumb that you are now trying to sell it after saying that you're clean, which, I mean, I guess you could sell it and be clean, but it's not – that's a slippery slope you don't want to get on.
Because that was the original implication, was that the amount he had on him was meant to traffic.
He's going to take it to another country and sell.
But – and honestly, like, 2017 X-Pac, like, yeah, that's kind of baffling how dumb that is. 2012 X-Pac, I buy it.
2012 X-Pac, you're surprised it wasn't more.
Yeah.
Surprised he didn't walk in with a goddamn sack like Santa filled with meth.
And like I said,
where are you going with that, buddy?
The only thing that I'm confused by is just the, like, because yes, it's legal in California. It's not legal in London. So granted, he didn't end up, you know, continuing the trip with all of that.
You think maybe he would have just done it on the plane? He was just eating it. Sir, do you want something to drink with your candy bar? I'm good.
No, but if you got any more of those peanuts.
I am hungry.
I got the only candy bar that'll make you hungrier. But we're happy to see that
we're Xbox fans.
And he's maintained that, you know, he's very vocal about his marijuana use, which
a lot of wrestlers are.
Nothing wrong with it.
And so, but he maintained his sobriety, and it's really happy to see that it came back true.
I referred to him as Meth Pac a couple weeks ago. I want to apologize for that.
But Dalton, you didn't do that to insult Dalton, or you didn't do that to insult him. You did that to insult Dalton.
Yes, because Dalton's childhood hero is X-Pac.
And X-Pac does not accept your apology. I'll speak for him.
I'll give him a couple bucks, too.
And the one thing that
he might accept your apology,
yeah,
then.
The one thing that I wanted to tie this into is because how many times did we see the headline of X-Pac busted for drugs, X-Pac going to jail, X-Pac relapsed? How many times did you see the headline, oh, X-Pac cleared of all charges?
None.
The one time somebody told me, yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's the same thing with this Tiger Woods thing that's happened. We were going to talk about it last night. Tiger Woods, arrested for DUI. Oh, his life is falling apart. He's going down a rabbit hole. What else is he using? Oh, his life is in shambles. Less than 24 hours later. Oh, yeah, no, he blew a 0-0 on the breathalyzer. He had taken a legal pain prescription that he is taking for a back injury. It hit him harder than he thought it was going to, so he noticed himself falling asleep. So as he was driving, he pulled over to the side of the road safely and slept and tried to sleep it off. So then whenever the police officer noticed a stopped car, then they went to investigate, he was
incoherent.
And it goes down to the way that certain states will determine what a DUI is, because you can be drunk in the front seat of your car, and if you have your keys in your pocket, that's a DUI. If you're in the backseat of your car with your keys in your pocket, that's a DUI. If you put your keys in the ignition and start it so you can have the heat running while you sleep off in the middle of the winter, that's a DUI even if you're in the backseat. Because just, there's so many different factors, because it is a very serious thing. I won't get into my whole connection there.
Right.
Because I've talked about it before.
Right.
But, it's nothing to be messed around with. But this is one of those things where I feel like if it does end up going to court, like the judge should just throw this out, because he was being as responsible as humanly possible.
And the world owes him an apology.
They do, because, like, yes, he's got some skeletons in his closet. Who the hell doesn't?
Yeah.
And they're not even in his closet anymore.
No, yeah. It's just like he just happens to be one of the most famous people in the world. So
it's
any part of privacy he no longer is afforded.
Did you ever see the movie Black Sheep with Chris Farley?
Yeah.
The part where Chris Farley, he goes out with the kids and he's doing the drinking thing, and, mm-hmm. and then they put in the paper that he was drunk with children or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he says it turns out he was trying to tell them not to smoke and drink like that. Like, well, did they print a retraction? Yeah, on like page 6.
Yeah.
Because that's how they are. They would rather exploit like tragedy and never apologize for it. I always said when Amy Winehouse was alive, mm-hmm. I always criticized the media horribly for this, because every day you would see a new report, Amy Winehouse boozed up on pills. Here's the evidence, stuff like that. Yeah, you're definitely getting money off of it and you're getting attention for it, but did you do anything to help her? If you know she's in this much trouble, have you done anything other than exploit her misery? Mm-hmm. And none of them did. And then she died.
And then they ran all of the, what a tragedy.
Yeah.
What a loss. Who could have seen this coming?
Yeah.
You.
You clearly did.
Because
in the camera magazine.
You loved writing all of these stories about it.
So yeah. And that's why I have always hated mainstream media. So when I do come out and defend them now, it's kind of like I slap myself a little bit every time. I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. But it's a new world we live in. It really is. But let's not talk about that. Let's get back to wrestling. You have Dive Fallout.
Yeah.
Was this what you showed me earlier?
Yeah, this was a couple weeks ago, we went over the whole Rip Rogers tweet, the Randy Orton response of the .. Dive. This weekend it was Progress and Wrestle Circus.
Yes.
The Progress show was, the Super Click, which is just my favorite name of a stable ever. it's Adam Cole and the Young Bucks against.
I got, how many groups are they in, the Young Bucks?
All of them.
It's all
of them. Every group.
It's all under the umbrella of the Bullet Club.
They're in the Pinnacle?
Are they really? Jeff. Jeff, what
just hold out on us.
Right?
Well, he didn't need them because he had Farmer in the Dell.
Yeah.
Well, they're not winning matches.
Don't shut your hole,
asshole.
So it was the Super Click against, all I'm thinking is Solomon Crowe now.
Sammy Callahan.
And what were their names, Billy? Jake and Dave Crest. They did a sequence. Go to YouTube and search in PWG RKO. Oh, yeah, because it was PWG, mm-hmm. not Progress. PWG RKO Party. And it's just RKOs everywhere.
Ace Crushers.
As far as the eye can see.
And then the other one being at Wrestle Circus, three guys on the turnbuckle. I know the Lucha Brothers are on the bottom. I can't remember who was in that one. Three guys on the top turnbuckle. Wait, no. Randy Orton's Twitter. So they all climb down, wait for their opponents to stand up, all hit simultaneous RKOs.
Ace Crushers.
Sorry, again. and then they go into the classic old school Orton pose. And it's just, I hope the RKO replaces the super kick. Because it's worth noting that the top rope assisted springboard RKO from PWG was kicked out of it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord Billy Hills, that's my new nickname. Lord William Regal.
He's been knighted.
He has.
I'm perfectly fine with all this.
We never got your, I'm curious about your opinion of the Randy Orton thing. We had Brandon Barbwire on the show mm-hmm. right after it happened. He told us how frustrated he was with the whole thing. Jason Wells mm-hmm. was on here talking about it. What are your thoughts on the Randy Orton criticism of the indie wrestling scene?
Here's the thing. People blew it out of proportion. Anyways, because so what if Randy quoted something that was already in the initial tweet that Rip Rogers put out? So what? It was already put out there. All he said was ... It was already in what right. the Rip Rogers thing was. So what? Just because he acknowledged it, why are we all up in his ass?
Randy?
Yeah. Why would we get all up in his ass if it was already technically out there just because he did it?
I think it was less that he referenced it and more the apology that came after.
Well, I think it's because I assume people thought he was also the one making
that said
fun.
It yeah. or making mm-hmm. fun of it.
So then they jumped on him, and then we really want to believe he was trolling the internet
mm-hmm.
with his apology where he said, I made my $5 million.
Oh, it was absolutely a troll. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely was. And here's the thing. And it wasn't even him bashing anything, really. It was just an opinion.
Right.
That's all it is. It's not him bashing. It's just him agreeing with an opinion. And, of course, in this day and age, just like we were just talking about with the mainstream media shit, it's all going to get blown out of proportion. That's exactly what's going to happen. And now, with what you're talking about with the PWG thing and Adam Cole being involved at that, we all know what's going on with him. I'm not saying anything could happen with it, but we just don't know.
Because he didn't only hit the RKO. He did the whole, he's punching the mat.
Yeah,
he did the full business. He did
yeah.
full
he
cosplay.
Did. And I'll be honest, you know, I didn't acknowledge it then. I don't acknowledge it now. It's stupid. People just blew it up because Randy did it. Say somebody like Tyler Breeze or Fandango or somebody like that said something, it wouldn't have got so blown out of proportion. But because of who did it, everybody just wants to blow it out of proportion. So what? You know, everybody has their own perception of what this business is. Some people see it as art. Some people see it as, you know, still a sport.
Money.
It's me. It's money for me. So what if he perceives it and agreed with what that statement was? Let it go. Move on. You didn't have to say anything. You just want to say something to be like everybody else because you're a fucking sheep. Sorry for saying that. Where am I?
43 minutes.
You know,
I'm gonna leave it in. It's unscripted. I don't care. It's Billy Hills.
But yeah,
sorry,
I just I don't. I don't care anything about any of that stuff because it's stupid. Because again, nobody can just be like, you know what? I don't agree with that and just move along. No, you got to blow it out of proportion.
Well, the internet lets everyone's opinion be heard, whether you want to hear it or not.
Exactly. And that's perfectly fine. I don't mind it whatsoever. So anybody that has any kind of opinion on me, tell me. I don't care. I legit do not care. So with that being said, why couldn't they just be like, you know what, Randy? I don't agree with that. Screw you and just be done. But no, everybody just has to just keep
And it seems like a lot of a lot of the wrestlers, like we had Ricochet put his two cents in it. We had a couple people like do their thing. Wrestlers seem to be on that kind of mindset of just being like, well, it sucks you think that way.
Yeah, because Ricochet's was just flat out like, not every type of wrestling is for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, not well,
and it's people getting offended. What's that old saying, Allie? People getting offended for people who aren't offended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I lost my train of thought. Well, like, a good point to make.
And it's all because of a wrestler's art movement.
And it's, I think it's partially because Randy Orton is like the poster boy for anti-indie wrestling. Just because, you know, he did OVW. Yeah. But for the most part, he's like John Cena, you know?
And that was kind of Brandon's point that he made, was just like, he doesn't know the struggle of, you know, living in your car and just doing it for the sake of that because of that.
And so what?
Yeah.
So what? Baron Corbin doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few guys up there have no idea. And so what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't. So what if Randy's never been down here and had to live in his car? It doesn't matter. We're all doing the exact same thing. A love for this sport, entertainment, art, however you want to call it. Just because we don't agree with something doesn't mean we just need to just go around bashing each other. You know, the internet, I was just thinking about this just randomly to myself. The internet is not killing this business. Us ourselves, the wrestlers, I believe, are. Because we're attacking each other so much over a little bitty piddly crap like this.
Mm.
Just because we don't agree with an opinion, then we start all-out brawls that fans and everybody else can see all over social media.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We are killing this and it for makes ourselves.
Everybody looks bad.
Yeah, everybody looks bad. So we're killing this business more than the internet or anybody else. We're doing it ourselves because of crap like this.
I think, you know, there's something to be said about letting people have an opinion and realizing that because someone has an opinion different than you, that doesn't make them right.
Thank you.
I just had an argument, this is completely off topic, but I just had a discussion with my roommate, Bob, Jack McNeil, about the afterlife. And he 100% believes that there is nothing when we die, that you just die. And I don't want to believe that. Just because he said it doesn't mean he's right.
Mm-hmm.
But I could not let it go. And for the past few days, I have been just festering on it. And Allie can attest to that because it's all I've thought about is what happens when you die. Just because my roommate, Jack McNeil, said that there's nothing. And it doesn't matter. He's not. And he said, he's like, I'm not right just because I said it.
So shut the hell up, Bob, or Billy's going to come and you're going to find out one way or the other.
No, I think he's going to beat me because I'm the one that I wanted to post an internet article about. I disagree with Jack McNeil for the following reasons.
Moran.
Uh-huh. Moran the News Fox came back. All right. We gotta shuffle through these. We got about 15 minutes left.
Oh, it's going to be a late show.
No, it is
sorry,
not.
Guys.
No, it is not. We got to record.
I'm looking at the rest of the list. There's just not that much.
Let's rapid fire. All right, Rusev, or what do we got here? Progress Women's Championship, Asa.
Yeah, so they announced that they were doing one back in – like the process started back in October that they were going to crown their first women's champion, and it actually happened this weekend. And now I'm trying to find where – there it is. Whoops. Wikipedia is not friendly a lot of the time.
That's why I tell you not to use it as a source for college.
Anybody can
yeah, and that's an absolute lie because okay, you know what? Here you go. Pro tip, kids. Go to Wikipedia, find the part you want to use, then click on the citation button, and then just cite that source.
Also, you don't have to use hair gel if you have pepperoni pizza. And you just...
Oh, my.
So the tournament started in October of last year, and then May 29th, they named Tony Storm won the inaugural tournament and is the first ever Progress Women's Champion.
Cool.
Which is cool.
Wonder if we'll see any of that in the WWE Women's Mae Young Classic.
Maybe.
It's possible.
They may reference it.
Yeah. Or at least
I mean,
have some of the
wrestlers. I doubt that they would. I meant to send you a picture of the belt because the belt has a picture of Athena on it and it also basically has the words War Goddess
awesome.
Written on it. And I was like, yeah, that's.
They compare that to like female wrestling 2012, 2010.
The Divas Championship.
Candice Michelle up there with her wand doing her GoDaddy spin. That was your women's champion. And I like Candice Michelle, by the way.
Or let's just not talk about the woman, Athena, who's in NXT right now that was going by like the same gimmick. So if she ever gets fired,
she's got a home.
That belt is hers.
He said, I don't know who's hotter of Nikki Cross or Ruby Riott. And I said, Ember Moon. Yeah. That's happening. Future wife. All of them. Sorry. Sorry, Ken. So Rusev had his angle pulled. That's a sweet looking belt. Dalton, you want to turn and look at the belt?
Oh, that's
Jesus
pretty.
Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, so apparently with Jinder Mahal winning the WWE Championship, that has thrown just all sorts of a wrench into what was originally planned for Rusev, which, boo, boo all of that. I'm happy for Jinder. No hindering Jinder. Yes. But if it's coming at the expense of handsome Ruru, I'm going to throw a fit.
I feel like Rusev would have just been...
a million times better?
Well, yeah.
At everything?
But I think he would have just lost...
It's not to, his fault. There's only like 30 Orton. People that live in Bulgaria.
He would have lost to Randy Orton because, again, the reason Jinder Mahal is champion, and I hate to say it, is because they're moving into the Indian market. That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
And, like, and honestly,
and that's
like,
taking thing away
you
from
know
him.
What's, you know what's an easy plan for Rusev that I guess they just don't want to do? Bring him back as a face. The dude is charismatic and funny and will get over, especially if he's separated from Lana, which they're still going forward with her doing the dancer gimmick. Like,
are they?
Stripper.
They're still airing the vignettes.
They sure are, Meg.
But Rusev as a face, they already have bad blood because that tag team split right before he got injured. So there's already bad blood there, and he can work as a – he would do so well as a face.
Like go back, Bray Wyatt when go he back, was a face for a month.
Oh, I love that. Go back to the that segment with Enzo and Cass and Shawn Michaels. And it's like, I can't get my leg that high. Dude's funny.
Or look up the what is it called, Dalton?
The React videos?
No. The Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With his role as
Big Bartholomew.
Big Bartholomew. He's Yo. Legit funny. That, you know what? I think he owes you a royalty check for that.
That I was just about. I'm waiting for it. It got to be in the mail. Him and a lot of both.
It's on lawyer
the,
up.
Mm-hmm.
The segment where they were doing the terrible stable, I don't even remember the name of it, with Barrett and Del Rio and Sheamus. I keep wanting to say World Elite, but that was TNA.
The Legion Legion of Doom? Wasn't nope. It? That's comic books. The World Powers.
League of Nations?
League of Nations. Allie. Allie with the call.
Fire Allie.
idiot.
The League of Nations, them talking about the Royal Rumble and him having to throw the kids off the bus just so he could get to school with Sheamus and Barrett just laughing on the stage at him. And Del Rio just not caring about anything.
Because he
just,
wasn't the star.
Yeah. Just he's so funny. He's so good. I'm so on board the Rusev train that this breaks my heart.
Next, real quick. Stephanie McMahon acknowledged Asuka as the streak holder. WWE may be making shirts about it.
Yep.
Good.
And still champion.
Yes.
Asuka.
Get him out quick. That's all I'll say. Christopher Daniels versus Cody Rhodes for the Ring of Honor title at Best in the World.
Yes.
Exciting match. Also, I loved, did you see the, I think I sent it to you guys or someone did, where the guy was criticizing Goldust.
Yes.
About the Golden Era. Yeah.
He's going to go back to his jobber.
I showed that, I think I was on the put that in the group chat of just like.
Yeah, I think it was you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cody Rhodes buried that guy in a cellar.
He was like
three-time Intercontinental Champion, three-time Tag Team Champion.
Future Hall of Famer.
Future Hall of Famer.
And he's right.
Oh, 100%.
Goldust is one of the most amazing talents you'll ever
people,
see.
I can only assume that guy, aside from just being a sad internet troll, like forgets how long Goldust has been doing this.
Yeah.
He's been doing this forever. And that initial run was so out there and different from anything else anyone had ever seen.
He was like the David Bowie of wrestling. He reinvented himself over and over again. Mm-hmm. He always stayed fresh.
Yep.
Dustin Rhodes is just a one of a kind talent. I so regret that they never put the world title on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a long list of people that should have had the title, never did. Like Million Dollar Man, even though I know he kind of did.
Roddy Piper,
yeah, Kurt guys Hennig. Like that.
Yeah, no.
This is. I'm honestly like, if Ambrose retains against The Miz, I would love to see Goldust go after do an Intercontinental Championship run.
And be weird while Ambrose plays like a complete moron who doesn't know what's happening.
Well, I mean,
because
like,
Ambrose's character is that of a complete moron.
Ambrose just out of it, not knowing how to react to Goldust.
I'm surprised
like,
the cops
that.
Didn't pull him over for DUI when he was sitting in his chair backstage.
Well, they could have at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, that's on record. They put a microphone in his face.
For $9.99, you can see it.
The only bad thing is they couldn't fire Jim Ross again at the time.
So, well, I mean, they did just sign him to a contract.
They're going to have the first ever women's Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yes.
That's crazy. That's historic.
I wanted to talk about it last week.
Nia Jax.
Yeah. She's
super salty.
She was pretty salty. on Twitter.
Yeah, she was
like, wow, isn't it cool how SmackDown can feature all of their women on every show?
Yeah.
Like, oh no, don't. I mean, yeah, it's cool, but you don't say that. We can say that.
Yeah, let us say that for you.
Let us say that for you.
Your precious cargo. We don't want anything to happen.
But yeah, so Becky Lynch, Natalya, Tamina, Carmella, and, oh, I'm forgetting one.
Naomi?
No, not Naomi's not in, because Naomi is the champion.
Because
this isn't a ladder match.
This is for the number one contendership.
No, this is for the Money in the Bank. There will be money.
Women's wrestling. Oh God, I just realized what that match meant.
Yeah, no, there will be.
What the hell?
Dude, I think it's because it was the first time the women did it. Mm-hmm. I had it in my head that it was just a ladder match for the title.
No,
but
no.
It's actually for the Money in the Bank case. Okay, cool.
Oh, and Charlotte. Duh. Charlotte. Forget
and
Charlotte.
Lana wants in on it. She's like, Mr. McMahon, Shane McMahon. Can you put? I want to be a part of history. Settle down. You're going to be lucky if you debut within the next year.
Did you see what happened to Emma?
You remember Emelina?
Yeah.
The train wreck that was Emelina or All Red Everything? You calm your ass down. But I do like her. She's not even Russian. Anyway.
Did you know that?
Her name's not even Lana. Yeah.
Her name's not even
she
Lana.
She has a last name.
It's, no, she has
it's,
a last name.
Yeah, it's Rusev. It's Rusev. All right. We're not going to do the Extreme Rules preview. Because we just don't have time. This Sunday.
I don't know the matches.
I don't either.
I just go down the card
watch the show.
There's the five-way for the number one contendership, which I'm actually excited to see what they do with it, just because...
This is the criticism that came out over the internet about how apparently Creative has nothing planned right now. And they're specifically putting on multi-person matches to just coast them through until summer. And I believe it.
I do too. But like, there's a couple interesting things happening. We already talked about Alexa Bliss and Bayley. The fact that Paul Heyman came out, not this past Raw, but the Raw before, and singled out Finn Balor as the person put him over
big
so hard.
Yeah.
That Balor has to be the one to win this. Like, he has to. And then he'll lose to Brock Lesnar in 3 minutes and just get thrown around.
I have a different theory on that. I think Paul will screw Brock over.
You think he'll jump on the,
I would love to see that.
I would be more on board with it if they hadn't done the exact same thing already with Big Show.
Of course, absolutely. I'm just like, I would just like to see that.
If it means,
please,
because
don't put
it puts
Balor
Paul on my TV more.
Yeah. Anything that puts Heyman, my theory is that I was really hoping that they were going to do the Balor Club. They're going to go all in on the Balor Club. And even if you have Heyman as part of it, like as the mouthpiece for the Balor Club, all day. I will watch everything WWE does forever.
Finn Balor does not need a mouthpiece.
Finn does such a good job on the mic, but so did CM Punk. Heyman can be paired with a guy that talks. Go back, as cringeworthy as it was of what they used, go back and watch any of the things they did before WrestleMania 29. With like Taker and Paul Bearer being dead and like all that.
It was terrible.
It was. For what it was, but like just the interview aspect of it and their promo aspect of it.
Yeah.
Golden. Cause they were both on. And like during whenever he had the world title or WWE championship, they were both on. They were so good.
Yeah. But I would like to see Finn Balor as just Finn Balor. Like he has his own charisma, his own style. You don't need to pair him up with Paul Heyman. I would say pair Paul Heyman up with a guy that needs it, but they did that before and it failed every time.
They did
time.
It a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Have you ever seen Prince Devitt's heel stuff in New Japan?
Yes. It's a lot of F words, but...
Mm-hmm. Imagine that with Paul Heyman.
But I don't need Paul Heyman because I've got...
No, you don't need him.
I've got Fergal.
But I love Paul Heyman.
But
I do too.
Anything that puts him on TV more than three times a year, I'm on board.
I just said the same thing.
Fire Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. Never put him on WWE TV again.
Cool.
Force him into bankruptcy.
So this is the last show we're doing?
So that way, Cape Championship Wrestling can snatch him up on the cheap, get Jeff O'Dell's ass out. And now you have the Paul.
I'm all right with this.
The Paul Nicole.
I
think
Jeff.
Paul will pay more.
We have a question from Brandon Barbwire for you, by the way. In a minute.
So we got.
This should be interesting.
But I'm looking forward to Extreme Rules. I like the dynamic of Dean Ambrose and The Miz. That if Ambrose gets disqualified, he loses the belt.
The
only problem I have with it is it's not going to have Maryse immediately slap The Miz.
Yes.
Like that's the only thing that should happen is she should immediately get.
Is
the
she
ring.
Banned from ringside?
No.
See, that is the dumbest thing I have heard.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that you're going to change it to a no DQ match or a DQ match, the title changes hands, mm-hmm. with the one person whose valet cheats every match.
That's the
stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It's almost like that's the point.
I get it.
Yeah. God damn it. I get it, but not making me happy.
And I love the way that they brought in Elias Sampson too. Cause
yeah,
I'm
I
thinking
like
he's going to be, I think it's going to do, they're just going to do return the favor type deal.
He owes you one.
The Hardy Boys and Cesaro Sheamus in a cage match.
That's the one match I'm excited
for. I'm on board for that. Just because they all
this
day.
This is Hardy's out. This is the split, the beginning.
I hope so.
Single matches.
And you're about to eat your words because there's also Neville versus Austin Aries in a submission match.
Hardy's in a cage. I'm sorry. Again,
so that's the only thing you're looking forward to.
10-year-old Dalton, that's really the only thing.
I'm talking to 25-year-old Dalton, however the hell old you are. Like, coming into Sunday, you're going to watch is the Hardy Boys and the Cesaro.
I know I'm
going to
watch all of it, but the only thing that I'm super excited for is that match.
I disagree with you.
I'm with Asa, surprisingly. I think the whole card looks good. I really do. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. And then there's Rich Swann and Sasha Banks versus Noam Dar and Alicia Fox.
Not so excited
for
that.
The only thing that I'll say about that is it's good to see some, like, main level talent from Raw be crossed over into 205 Live. So, I mean, I'm only because he's the Cruiserweight champion and he's not like, if it would have brought in someone who, because he's now just part of that division, mm-hmm. like he's not really a part of Raw anymore. Whereas Sasha Banks is a Raw superstar who is now making appearances on 205 Live.
And Sasha and Alicia are really pretty.
God damn it.
Full circle. Full circle.
You did it.
Thank you. All right. So let's talk about Stride real quick.
Yes.
Billy, you, of course, not only do you wrestle in Cape Championship Wrestling, but you do a fantastic job there. You're also one of the biggest stars of Stride Pro Wrestling in Illinois. You got a card coming up this Saturday.
Yes, we do.
Asa has, but if you want to talk about it first, that's fine.
Yes, go ahead and put it out there.
So it's Chris Hargis versus Brian Richards of the DR Party. It is Billy Hills versus Nathan Drag of the DR Party as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fatal four-way for the legacy title. T-Dog, Jerry Travelstead versus Tony Flood, who's the champion, versus Joey O'Reilly versus Dexter Roswell.
Which JD was supposed to be a part of that match because of the injury. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. can't make it. Again, JD, we love you.
Get better and all the way better.
Quickly.
Cash Borden versus Dalton Diamond.
That's going to be a good match. I love seeing those two wrestle.
Maximum Overdrive versus Eugene and a partner of his choosing.
That's going to be great for the tag titles. I love seeing those two wrestle.
I love Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, they're fantastic.
They're the best worst.
He said also what's in store for Roger Mathis, Heath Hatton, Jay Spade, and Red Daniels a week before their fatal four-way for the heavyweight championship, which is going to be next Saturday.
Are you wrestling on the next show too? Are you on both?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Really? You're going to ask that question?
Do you know who's in the match with him at the 10th?
Yes, I just remembered. I'm so sorry that I have a billion things I think about. And I forgot one little thing standing right in front of me.
Billy Hill should
angry.
Be the one thing you think about constantly.
He's going to be teaming up with legendary Cowboy Bob Orton.
That I am. And all because my match this Saturday has zero importance to me whatsoever.
Is it because it's against the DR Party?
Those little turds can't lick the gum off my boot. So
sorry, Dexter.
The only match this Saturday that I even give two craps about is the Maximum Overdrive because of Axe Allwork. Little Phoenix, or that little turd, I don't really care much about him because the loss that I have to him is because of who? You guys were there.
Axe. It was Axe.
Thank you. Since day one I have met and known Axe Allwork, he has been a pain in my ass. He's that thorn in my side. Since day one that I've wrestled in Illinois, it's always been Axe. He's just there every turn I make. So
him and his stupid facial hair.
My God. Right?
Yeah.
Just his stupid freaking face.
Are you concerned that like there's going to be some sort of reflection coming off of his tights?
There's going to be a reflection of his face into a shovel this Saturday. Because I'm going to split him wide freaking open. Because what happened last time?
Hit you with a chain.
Thank you. So he's really not going to be looking too pretty going into that match with me and Cowboy Bob. Lil Phoenix, I do not care that much about him. Want Axe.
You hit some sweet moves on him, though.
You were taking requests. Yeah. We talked about that.
One of my favorite things I've ever seen in a wrestling.
Did I start the RKO party?
I think you did.
You might have been the originator.
Out of nowhere.
Nobody show that video to Randy, though. I want a job. Nobody show him that. That didn't happen.
So what's it like teaming up with a legend like Cowboy Bob? Randy's father.
It's like, so don't that's why. That. So that's why he was so forgiving of Randy Orton's comments.
I know whose ass to kiss. All right. If I sit there and said that I was not nervous at all, I would be speaking right out of my ass because I'm very, very nervous. Because let's be honest, he is, of course, Cowboy Bob Orton.
Yep.
He is, of course, Randy Orton's dad.
Yep.
But the man is also up there in years.
How old is Cowboy Bob? I think he's in his 70s, isn't he? Maybe 60s?
I don't know.
Try Wikipedia.
That's actually what I use whenever
I'm
That's
what he uses every time, I guarantee you.
Here's the thing. Age is nothing but a number, but that can start playing a factor. So me and Phoenix are, of course, the youngest guys in the match. So how much of a factor is me having the oldest person in the match on my side? If something happens to me and I leave him out there, he gets hurt.
That's on you?
That's on me.
Bob Orton, 66, by the way. Thanks, IMDb.
How old is Axe?
Old enough to know to have better facial hair.
I was wondering if he was going to say me a real age or if he was just going to.
No, I don't know. Like legit. Like the last thing that I heard was he came up with the 11th commandment. that's how old he is. But I mean, Axe is right up there. But he has taken care of himself a little bit better.
He's in great shape. Mm-hmm. Axe is impressive.
He is a brick house.
Yeah.
He honestly is. He, for somebody who's been doing this as long to still be in that kind of shape, is a testament all in of itself.
Yeah.
So I'm worried going into that one. You know, if something was to happen to him, say for some reason Axe gets his hands on that chain and pops me, knocks me out again, and then something happens to Bob, that's still on me.
Right.
Because I should have seen Axe coming with that. So there's a whole lot of factors to it that's just bothering and has me worried for the 10th. But going back to your initial question, I love it. I am super stoked, but I am more worried than anything that something could just go really, really wrong.
Is this the biggest legend you've ever teamed with?
Yes, and I've been around and teamed with a couple. I mean, Bushwhacker Luke. I mean, that was absolutely amazing. I mean, we gelled very well, but it was, again, another reason why I kind of worry is because of me, we lost that match.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got thrown into a pole. My opponents beat the ever-living crap out of him while I'm knocked out on the floor. So with that happening to me already is already played in my mind. So they already have a mind games on me and they've not even done a thing. Hence why I'm worried.
Right. But you know, Bob, Cowboy Bob, that's a wily veteran if there ever was one.
That cast.
Yeah.
Speaking of unfortunate injuries. Yeah. Just
he hurt his arm this week or next week.
Oh, he hurt it from 30 years ago. He's still wearing the cast.
Well, D'Lo's still got that chest protector.
Yeah, oh, D'Lo's
Lassiter needs to keep that chest protector on because he lost it at the Super Show and he almost lost his title.
D'Lo Brown is in one of the next WWE Elite Series waves, and I couldn't be happier.
Does he have the chest guard?
I am really hoping it's Nation, but yeah, he's going to be in it. I'm super stoked.
I was always a big D'Lo fan.
Me too.
Always a big D'Lo.
I love the Sky High.
Yeah, it's just one of my favorite moves.
Mm-hmm. You notice my buddy that we have at CCW now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you seen what he put old Brandon Turnwire out with.
You mean Roger?
Sky High.
Mathis.
Mm-hmm. He got the Roger out. Speaking of Brandon, all right, we have some questions. I posted, we posted on the
I got a few of them pulled up here, too.
Mm-hmm. And, let's just start with Brandon Barbwire. Because Brandon, you two, we've said it before, something happens to Billy Hills when he comes to Missouri. He just gets angry.
There's something about that Missouri air.
It's like he's like the Incredible Hulk.
It's the water.
Oh, don't drink the water.
It pisses me off.
Brandon said, or he asked, ask him how he feels about Jeff Liddell adopting Hollis into the Pinnacle and making him his heavyweight contender instead of focusing on Billy Hills, who has been with him from the start. And if he says it's all about a paycheck, that past that he doesn't care, remind him that heavyweight champions make more money. Now, here's the thing. Okay, so for those of you that are listening, if you're CCW fans, you know the story, but let me just give you a little quick history. So Billy Hills, you fought Brandon in the very final match of the first tournament to determine the champion.
True.
Brandon beat you. But I saw that video from the Jackson whatsamacallit where you said, I'm not going to take another paycheck to lose to you.
That's true.
Now, that's all I'm going to say about that. I won't dig that up any further. That's what it is.
That's absolutely true. That was the plan from the get-go.
Was to have Brandon beat you and become champion.
Exactly.
And you got paid extra.
I was paid to lay down. We had to make it look exactly the way it looked in front of you.
Right.
So that it looked like he was actual legit contender. But what happened in that Matt Hardy match? His biggest match as a heavyweight champion.
Yes.
He couldn't do it himself. He couldn't get the job done.
Relied on the Pinnacle.
On my worst night, which was that night because I had to wrestle Jason Bond. So, with that being said, if I hadn't have been paid, there's no way in hell he could have ever beat me. Whatsoever. Now, if he's worried about, you know, Jeff picking Hollis or anything like that over me, unlike him, I see big picture. I see where this is actually going to take us. This is going to take us to a totally different level than what Brandon could ever do. I see big picture. He's very small picture.
Now, at the Ashley McCullough Memorial, you and Del Tucker had a chance to win those tag titles back.
Or
was
correct.
It was him and Del. Yeah, because Del says he's going to slap the shit out of me multiple times. I won't forget that. Brandon, at the end of the match, kicked, I believe it was you.
It was me. Right in the back of the head.
Right in the back of the head, right in front of us. And was so proud when he did it, too, by the way. You know, not instigating.
Of course he was.
Is Brandon in your sights? Is something like that, where Brandon kicks you in the back of the head, costs you your title match, is that something that Billy Hills is going to go after him for? Or is it one of those, I still don't care about you, whatever, I got bigger things on my mind?
Just know this. What goes around comes around. There was absolutely no reason for him to do that whatsoever. When have you guys ever seen me and him ever have a bad word, bad exchange?
You never did anything to you on the show the last time we had you?
Yes. Billy Hills had some words for Brandon, but it's like Donald Trump. Don't look at what he says. Look at what he does. And I will say this in Billy Hills' defense. Billy Hills puts everything behind, and he has never attacked Brandon. He has never fought Brandon.
You haven't tried to undermine Brandon.
At any point in time, and in any of Brandon's matches, when have I ever went out there to try and help? When have I ever actually done anything?
The best of the best. But then you found that Pidgey.
You had to chase out the Pokemon.
See? Those Pokemon were hard to get back then.
Thank you. Now it's not as hard. So, again, there's absolutely no reason for what he did. But what goes around comes around. I'm not going to say anything else about that.
I'm sure Brandon will have something to say about that.
Just before we get to the other fan questions, just a follow-up, because now the Pinnacle has two people gunning for them, with Brandon swearing to make Jeff O'Dell's life a living hell, and by extension, yours and everyone else. Austin Lane, best of the best, has also made it very clear that he has a personal vendetta and he's going to try to pick off the Pinnacle one by one.
And you can't forget about Blaster, because Blaster, even though he's tag champion, he's enjoying the high life right now. You know, he still has a score to settle, too. And you guys make enemies.
Here's the thing as far as Austin Lane goes. Why should I give two flips about Austin Lane? My wife broke his ribs.
Oh, snap!
Why should I care?
Sorry, Austin.
If she can pick him apart, what does it think the rest of us can do? Come on, let's be real.
Austin, that came from Billy. We didn't say that. I don't condone that.
Hey, Austin Lane can kiss my ass. If my wife can pick him apart, what does he think the rest of us is going
to
do?
To be fair, Sweet Sarah's tough.
She has the biggest balls in the group.
Well, we know it's not Marco.
They haven't dropped yet.
We saw those trunks.
Also, the views of Billy Hills do not represent that of PZ85.
It's true. They are mine.
All right, so we got some other questions. Let's ask some of these here. Heath Hatton. Your old buddy Heath Hatton.
And Heath, wait, I got a question for Heath. Why do you hate Lane so much?
We need to get Heath on the show at some point. I would love to have Heath at and pick his brain on here sometime. Because I also would like to know why he hates Lane so much.
It's easy. I can speak for Tyler on this one. He's a little bitch.
Sorry, Lane.
Is that easy?
A lot of sorries tonight.
You guys knew it was coming, having me on the show, but there was going to be a bunch of that. So.
He wants to know, what was the best part of eating at Moe's today at lunch?
All right. In case some of you guys don't know, I'm not sure if we put it up on Facebook or not, but me and Sarah, we were having lunch at Moe's in Carbondale today, and out of the corner of my eye, Tyler walks in at the same place that we're eating. He doesn't see me coming, so I come in and I punch him in the back of the head. Right in the middle of Moe's. So that was the best part of seeing, you know, eating at Moe's. I got to punch Tyler in the back of the
punching
head.
Punching him.
Yeah, awesome. Exactly. Moe's food's really good.
Yeah,
Moe's
really
is amazing.
Asa, you on my team?
I've never been there.
Okay.
Never been there.
No.
It is the Mexican Subway.
It's kind of like Qdoba. In a way.
But better.
The hell's I think Qdoba? It's better.
Yeah.
It's like
Moe's, but not as great.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
like a Chipotle.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm.
Steve Kinney says, I want to know what his influences are and when he knew that wrestling was what he wanted to do.
Influences have and always will be the same. Stan Hansen, Samoa Joe. Those two were the biggest influences. Well, I say that, but a photo of Hulk Hogan was an influence. It was actually a VHS cover for a WrestleMania that he was on.
Which one?
He was.
What was the pose?
He was just draped in the American flag.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That one. It was just a giant. It was Wise Video was the name of the store where you rented VHS tapes, and I was like 5 or 6 years old. And I just walk and I just look up and there's this jacked up douchebag with blonde hair draped in an American flag. And I'm like, I want that. That.
SummerSlam 92.
Two things.
I believe so.
One, Hulk Hogan as a wrestler in that age was America. Was America.
Absolutely.
Two, Dalton, explain to Allie what a VHS is.
Oh, no.
You just graduated from high school 3 years ago. You need to know this.
I know what a VHS is!
It's not a horror movie, Allie. It stands for... What did VHS
Wikipedia.
Stand for?
Video...
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Right.
As far as when I knew, first bump. First bump in training.
What was your first bump?
It was November 27th, 2007.
What'd you take?
Back bump.
Back bump.
Yep, that was it. I was done. Waking up the next day, I kind of like, oh God, I don't want to do this, but oh no, I'm going right.
You're like,
back
wait,
tonight.
So when's the next class?
Yeah, Tuesdays. Stride Pro Wrestling in Marion. That will be a next class.
But absolutely.
Quite literally, as far as my training goes, it was the next day.
I would personally love to do training at Stride, but you know,
that's not nodding at a
hernia. Hernias and things.
Yeah.
Video home system is what VHS stands for.
I honestly didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I didn't. Video home system. Derek Boxdorfer.
Yeah.
Dalton. Did I say that right?
Yeah, he's one of my good friends from high school.
All right.
Is this the one that wants me to punch you in the mouth?
Mm-hmm.
One of the many.
Yeah.
Cool. I like this guy.
I mean, what's your favorite place to wrestle?
Right now, hands down, Kate, because you assholes make it fun.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yay.
Hey, you gotta
shut up.
Where do you want to go in the world of wrestling? Like, what's your long-term goal?
Easy. I mean, it's everybody's goal who gets in this. I mean, WWE. Easy. I mean, WWE or TNA. Outside of that, a personal goal is Europe.
So you want to travel the world and wrestle?
I do. I have no aspirations to go to Japan. I have no aspirations to go to Mexico.
You're a big strong guy, and Japan loves that. You know, they love the big strong American.
They do,
but you don't want to work over there.
And only because look at me and look at what I do in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
My style and things I do, I don't think would correspond very well with what they like and what they do over there.
Mm.
I don't think I would do too well over there. I think I'll get shit on and sent back home packing. Mexico, I have no aspirations to go down there. If I ever do, great. And also, if I ever go to Japan, great. I will never not turn any of those down. I just don't feel like myself, my gimmick, my persona, and who I am would fit very well over there. Of course, other side of the coin, Bruiser Brody, Stan Hansen, Texans, Cowboys, crazy guys fit in perfectly everywhere they went. Just with mine and my look and my style, I just don't think it would just mesh well. Do I think that I would mesh well over in Britain, somewhere over there where I want to go, where old world of sport is? No, I don't. But that's just a personal, like, bucket list, because outside of WWE, world of sport was the first thing I was ever introduced to outside of WWE. So my love and aspiration for British wrestling is...
So you're excited, like, about that UK show for WWE?
Yeah.
Is there any specific promotion going? Because they're doing that World of Sport kind of relaunch.
Of course, yeah,
event.
They're doing the relaunch of that. So I'm super excited for that. And, of course, you know, we were just talking about Progress. Mm-hmm. I watch them. And, of course, I watch 1CW, WXW. I mean, all of those. I mean, I watch them as much as I humanly can. And that's where I want to go. Those are the places I want to get to.
He also, one last thing he said, will you push Dalton around at the next show?
If he's there, I would like for him to be there to see me beat this turd up.
He'll be there in July.
July?
Yeah, he had to miss the June show, but he will be there in July. Yeah.
So that's a date.
That's a date for an ass whipping.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
blink.
I'm not going to. I'm going to mispronounce this. Brian Giraro?
Brian Giraro. I know this turd.
Ooh. I did that for Billy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is a part of the Jackson. Commerce or
He's that piece of shit that was in that video with me and Brandon.
He got mouthy with you.
Yes, he did.
It's never a good idea.
Not a good idea.
No, because I hadn't ate yet that day. Hence the reason for the end of the video. Whenever I stole their food,
he took the entire tray.
I did
the potatoes and bacon.
It was mine. He has a very small neck. I could snap it like a toothpick. I eye up my competitors. I like to see what I'm getting into.
Right.
He's a little bitch. I will end him. So if he wants to know if I'm ever coming back to Jackson.
I'm thinking no at this point.
Oh, it will be. And it will be to beat his ass in front of all his little buddies at his next little luncheon.
But other than that, would you consider going back to Jackson, Missouri?
Of course, it's a very nice little town.
It is. We have the gaming grounds up there. Good for
us. Yes. Oh. And I like right there off the exit, there's a little Bluebird Cafe. They have very good breakfast there. They give you nice portions. I enjoy it immensely.
Portions are important.
Mm-hmm. Especially for us fat kids.
Rich Gross wants to ask, I want to know who his hero is and what his favorite flavor of yogurt. Now, we already talked about, is your hero different from your influences?
Not really, no. Those two guys go so just much hand in hand for me. Absolutely. Because, I mean, Stan Hansen being a bigger guy, it's who I stole my lariat from. And is the reason why I have, you know, shoulder problems now. But Samoa Joe on the other side of the coin is the reason why I finally went ahead and just push, you know, the play button on training.
Right.
Because there for the longest, you know, it was body guys or little guys is all you seen. And then on a Friday evening, I believe, on FSN, Samoa Joe versus Motor City Machine Guns, not Alex Shelley.
Chris Sabin.
Chris Sabin was on there, and I'm like, whoa, big guy.
Yeah, Joe really.
And he's not a jacked
eyes.
Up douchebag.
Yeah.
Turned up the volume. And then he's doing everything he's doing that, you know, we see now. Just strong strikes, dives, stuff like that. I'm like, okay, I actually might have a shot at this. So within a couple weeks, found a trainer and boom. That was it.
I also want to say that Samoa Joe, also one of the few Samoan wrestlers that didn't wrestle as a Samoan wrestler, no. You know?
Yep.
He didn't get the stupid gimmick of, and it's not a stupid gimmick, let me apologize for that, but just every Samoan that they usually saddle with the tribal gear and stuff,
Yeah.
They did once.
Did they really?
Yes.
They
had the one the, named Nation of Violence.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, I heard about that.
Put him in pants. He did the tribal thing over his face.
But that was an homage to his family history as opposed to, say, Umaga.
Yeah, he didn't come out as like a – he was never like a savage.
Right, yeah, a savage. Like, that's exactly you know, right.
He came out with a machete.
Okay, he was savage.
But he was very eloquent in telling you what he was going to do with that machete.
He was
going
to murder you.
Yeah, he didn't –
Yeah.
They didn't try to pretend that he didn't speak English or was uneducated or I'm kind of ashamed. I don't really count that as like, I mean, they make, no. I mean, his name is Samoa Joe. So, I mean,
that's
clearly
as Samoa as
he gets. They're making, yeah. they're doing an homage to
him. He already did the gimmick before it was given to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as, frozen.
Favorite flavor of yogurt?
There's a reason why he asked this. Cause I actually met him trying out frozen yogurt. He was actually the manager of a establishment that is unfortunately now closed.
Did you burn it down?
I plead the fifth.
That's smart.
Yeah, Ken.
Get fire insurance.
Mm-hmm. I'd recommend it. I would
just
always
cut that part out.
Hopefully for Vaughn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I ever see Jason Vaughn in any establishment, it's going up on a Tuesday. But no, it would be the chocolate vanilla swirl, and I would always throw some M&Ms and sprinkles inside of that bad boy. But there is now an establishment in Anna where we live called Justin's, and they have a baller birthday cake, frozen yogurt. I would highly recommend it.
I'm a fan of the swirl myself.
Mm. Chocolate vanilla swirl.
All right. Last question. We got to get out of here. Roger Minton. I don't know who that is. He said, how great is it to have another heavy hitter in CCW? All right. It's Dalton, tell who it is.
It's Mathis.
Oh, it's Mathis.
I like how you had a question. You're questioning it.
Yes.
I didn't know what I want to say is it's Mathis. Yeah. Yeah. Mathis wants to know how we have another heavy hitter because Mathis made his CCW debut at the last show at the Ashland McClure Memorial, and he laid out Brandon.
Can you confirm that he's part of the Pinnacle?
Oh, 100%.
Confirmation.
We had a small argument.
Breaking
about
news.
Show.
Because how do you think Jeff found out about him? Me.
Well, yeah, no, I assumed that, but whenever I said he's part of the Pinnacle, people questioned me.
And that was me. I said, you never know whether or not Mathis, the big hulking monster that he is, whether he's on anyone's side or if he's just there to destroy everything. So I had questions about
because
that.
Because here's the thing. He absolutely can. That is the reason why, Jeff, we need him on our side. Because I'd be damned. I've already been on the other side of that coin once for about 6 minutes, and screw that.
Yeah.
I would never want to be on that side of the coin again.
That is a crazy son of a bitch right there.
Absolutely.
Very scary.
Meant with all due respect, Shannon Young saying that.
No. Mm-hmm. No, Irish Daddy said that. It's different.
So here's the thing. I am, on a personal level, I am super stoked to have Mathis in our locker room, personally and professionally. It makes me so happy because in the coming months, there is plans that Jeff, myself, Damone, Hollis, Mathis has not been to a meeting just yet. And if all plans go right, if you thought what we've done so far has been bad, you have no idea what's coming now, adding Roger.
He didn't mention Dell.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
Dell, we're putting Dell out and doing, he's going to do his own thing come this next show. He's still Pinnacle, day one. Always has been, always will be. And he still is technically part of the Pinnacle, yes. But there's a reason why Damone and I are tagging instead of me and Dell. We're going to... Dell's, he's going to do his own thing.
Part of the plan.
And even if you and Damone win it back, he'll still be tag team champion.
Because we have our free bird rule.
It's true. Who do you like tagging with more, Damone or Dell?
Damone can kiss my ass. So I love Dell.
I'll say,
will always be Farmer and the Dell.
Of all the people I've seen in Pinnacle that you've wrestled with, you know, on their side and against, Dell seems like the only one that I thought that you might actually like.
He is. the only one that I like.
You've shown genuine concern for him.
Yeah, you look like you actually exactly. think he's a decent person.
I do, because Dale and I are on the same wavelength. We're on the same mentality. We're there to kick your ass, get our money, and get out. That's what we're there for. Now, the path that we have set Dale on is really going to create a whole lot of money for him. And now, we can try and maybe get Damone some money whenever we get our tag titles back. Because that's my job right now, is to try and help that turd. Because let's be honest.
He's odd.
He ain't got a daggum thing going for him. Except for them stupid ass wings of his.
I like that half shirt he wears.
It's stupid. It's stupid. He's stupid. It all looks stupid. But yet, I am a professional. I will take him underneath my right wing, and I will show him how Pinnacle Business is done.
That unfortunately is right over his left wing.
I will rip those stupid wings off of his ass, shove them directly up his ass, and then we'll go fight these turds at the next show. So,
I mean, just know
there's Pinnacle plans in every single match, every single wear in CCW.
And you know, Damone, at least he knows you. At least he knows you're there. Mm. He knows you exist.
Yeah.
That, for better or worse. All right, we got to get out of here, Billy. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely, anytime.
Always a pleasure. We will see, at least one of us will see you this Saturday. Maybe two, maybe none. We don't know. I mean,
Dalton and I will be there.
Oh, I remember you saying you didn't know which ones you could
do. No, I decided that I'm going to do both.
Awesome.
I'm going to be able to do both.
And say, I will hate to have to fight you, too.
Oh, no. That's.
I will be moving this weekend, as will Allie, so unfortunately, we will not be there, but best of luck to you and with your match with Cowboy Bob. Fantastic.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Next week.
This coming Saturday is the Nate Drag match.
Right. Yes. The next Saturday is the Cowboy Bob.
Yeah,
that's going to be for both matches.
Okay. The 10th.
Okay. I was just saying. So the 3rd and the 10th, don't forget Stride Pro Wrestling. Check them out on Facebook. Check them out.
This weekend's show is back at the Marion Star Center Mall in Marion.
It is.
Yep.
It's the first time in their new location.
Yep.
Yes,
so
it is.
So really excited to see how that looks.
It is a lot bigger. And you guys, everybody in this room knows that the last couple venues we had, the ceilings were very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a whole lot of flying now because we got actually normal roof in this place. So we got some room to play.
Would you say a lot of dives?
Dot, 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 dot.
Have a good night, everybody.